Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I don't know if it's something I can do on my end. Is it my lapel making it, or is it just something in the house? So praise the Lord. It's probably because I'm anointed, and your equipment isn't used to that strong of anointing, and so praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says a man believeth in his heart, so is he. So that's how I am. Amen. Well, we greet you in Jesus' name. We're so thrilled, so honored, and so privileged to be here Wednesday night in Family Church in Jamestown. And so thank you all for coming out. Such a beautiful day. You could have stayed home and raked leaves, but you chose to come to church. Praise the Lord. So we welcome each and every one of you. Hey, I especially want to thank, we have some Fredonia folks here that came. Praise the Lord. I believe there's a special reward for them. They just heard me last night. You figured they'd have enough of me and wanted to stay home, but then, you know, they came out here. And so thank you. Thank you for supporting the services. And of course, you know, Jamestown folk, you're to be, you know, honored for coming out and honoring God. You know, we live in a day where Christians don't even go to church. And then eventually, you know, it got watered down. People go, you know, once a Sunday. But man, if you're in church every service, that says a lot about your devotion and love for God. So you're to be commended. Also, you know, I want to thank Pastor Tim and Katie for trusting me, inviting me to speak. They're on vacation. How many know pastors and ministers need a vacation? Yes, amen. Sure. Jesus very often would tell disciples, you need to get away and rest. And so it's very important that your pastors have rest. So thank you, Pastor Tim and Katie, for inviting me. I also, we're going to get the message, but I have to do all my thank yous. Thank you. Thank. I know I'm not running for public office, but I am sincere. I want to thank all of my partners. I have an organization, FCI, Family Church International, and that's the organization we started many of the churches through, and I travel and do the other outreaches of my ministry, and you know, I have many partners in all the churches and partners here in Fredonia and Jamestown, and so thank you, all my partners, for helping me to do what I need to do, and may God richly bless you. Hey, if you have your Bibles tonight, I invite you to open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Whenever I minister, I just don't pull out my favorite sermon or things that I like to teach on. I firmly believe that God has a plan and purpose for every service, and it's the minister's job to seek and wait on God to hear what heaven would have you to say. And many times it takes, you know, in some cases, you know, when I do like my Holy Ghost meetings and, you know, camp meetings, sometimes it takes months before I get clarity. And I just love that about God. It makes you to draw nigh to him until you hear something from him. But when you're preaching, you know, almost daily, you know, that time constraint has to be a little shorter. So for probably a week, I was just searching my heart, Lord, what to share here? Because whenever I'm invited as a guest, you know, I want to hit the mark. I want to give them what the Holy Ghost has given me. And I have one shot at the people. And so I take that very seriously. And so, you know, waiting on God, there was two things in my heart, in my spirit, that I was vacillating and just before the Lord. And, you know, last night I got clarity. I saw it in my spirit. I saw a picture that I was to go a certain direction, and I'm thrilled to do it. And I know I'm called and anointed to preach along that line. But I also wanted to give you the other thing that was on my heart that I've been telling the body of Christ, telling our people. You know, a couple years ago, I saw in the spirit that there would be a great onslaught against the church, against the body of Christ, and so forth. And I made mention that I talked to Randy Gruen without mentioning what I saw. He saw the same thing. And I've been telling people to watch their thoughts. If you can just watch your thoughts, Satan has no place in your life. And so it doesn't matter if hell has a lottery and picks your name and all the devils and demons say, well, let's go after Sue's here, let's go after Tom. The enemy has no place in you unless you let him in your mind. And how does he try to come to your mind? By suggesting things, by bringing thoughts to you. That's why the Bible says take captive or rest every thought that comes. And so that is so vitally important. And just don't let your mind wander, and suggestions will come. And what the devil will do, and I'm speaking by divine inspiration because I see it right now, is will put thoughts in your mind, and then he will condemn you for having those thoughts and beat you on the head for having those thoughts when it wasn't even your thought to begin with. And so literally, we have to be cognizant of that and just know how he works and to filter our thoughts with the Bible. You take every thought captive. You know, what does the word say about this thought? You know, what does this word say about the church? What does the word say about the pastor? And know this, if you ever have an accusing thought about someone or something, I'm gonna tell you right now, that is not God. That is the work of the enemy. And so we have to be vigilant concerning that. And also, the devil isn't just going to try to give you a thought that is so off the cuff and try to get you leaving it, because he knows you won't. You know, the devil ain't going to come to me and tell me, go murder the president. You know, that's not even the sphere of my desire. You know, he knows that he couldn't even tempt me with that. But, you know, what he will do is just like a good fisherman has to put a juicy worm on the hook. No fish will bite on a hook without bait. And so he will try to bait you with an element of truth, or maybe an element, maybe you've been hurt, maybe you've been offended, or maybe someone is just human and had a human day, and he will harp on that and try to cause an accusation and division. And so if you just recognize that and guard your thoughts, I tell you, no matter what has happened in the world, you can be a beacon of light and a beacon of joy. You should have peace every day. No matter what's going on, perfect peace. You know, no matter how weird people act and what's going on in the world, just perfect peace. And how do you have peace? Well, Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." And so just guard your thoughts. And so, you know, that was part of the thing that I said, man, I know that this is a great need in the body of Christ, and I have another opportunity. So I got that out, and just watch your thoughts. But now I'm going to get into tonight's message, and hopefully you had enough time to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 5, it says this, and I'm reading out of the King James Bible. Your version may read similar or a little differently, but it'd be saying pretty much the same thing. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 14, "I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied, for greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying." Well, here Paul is talking about the difference between speaking tongues, which was an exercise of the Spirit, and prophecy. And the whole chapter is pretty much clarifying the abuses that the Corinthian church had. And, you know, some people, and I've read these books, some people have taken the comments and the correction that Paul did concerning praying in tongues and prophesying, and use those corrections as a platform to see, even the Apostle Paul minimized praying in tongues. Praying in tongues, prophecy, it really shouldn't be happening. And so we should just avoid it altogether. But just because he corrects certain things doesn't mean that there isn't a valid truth. We've heard the saying, don't throw out the baby with the what? Bathwater. But I liken to this illustration. If you have a microwave and a dishwasher and a washing machine, and just say you have a load of laundry to do, maybe some of you had laundry to do, but you chose to come here tonight, God will bless you for it. And so maybe this illustration is to help you. And then, you know, you have a load of laundry, and you know what? You put that load of laundry in the dishwasher, and you press a cycle. And so you're trying to wash your laundry in the dishwasher. Then, you know, when the cycle, you know, beeps and it's over, you know, it's kind of a mess. Then you take your laundry and you put it in the microwave and you push the buttons in order to dry it. Okay, what in the world is going on here? Now, and if I saw you doing that and I say, hey, you're doing it wrong. The washing machine is meant to what? Wash dishes. The microwave is meant to heat up food. You want to put your laundry in the washing machine and you want to dry them in the dryer. Now, you wouldn't, if I corrected you like that, you wouldn't go and tell people, you know, Pastor Michael, he's against microwaves. He's against dishwashers. You know, he's down on that. No, I simply brought clarity on proper use of these machines. And so that's what Paul is doing in 1 Corinthians 14. He's bringing proper use and directing and clarifying the abuses and say, don't use tongues this way. Don't use prophecy this way. This is how they ought to be used. And the whole chapter pretty much is this, that when you pray in tongues, you're not to be praying down the rows of Walmart. When you're in Wegmans shopping and down the street, it is a personal devotional gift. These Corinthians were praying out loud everywhere in church. And Paul was saying, hey, in church, in public, it's better to speak in your known language than 10,000 words in unknown language. So the whole chapter is a fascinating chapter. But what I want to draw your attention to is in verse 5, this phrase, I would that you all spake with tongues. Now, I'm reading out of the King James Bible, and that could be a little blind to us. When I read in the King James, I love the King James. I've been preaching out of it for this December. It'll be 39 years that I've been preaching. Imagine that. I must have started when I was 3 years old, huh? Yes. You do the math. But it almost would seem that when Paul said, I would that you speak tongues, I don't know when I read that, it almost seems like it's optional. You know, I would really like for you to speak in tongues, but if you don't, you know, that's okay too. You know, to each its own, you know, each their own. But other translations, and I love translations. I actually have a Bible app where I have 250 Bible translations. Are there that many translations? Oh, there's a whole lot more than that. I have a friend that has 400, and I've been knocking, seeking, and asking for the other 200 translations that I don't have. And again, why these translations? It's just to learn and bring, like many of them say the same thing, but sometimes it's just to, you know, someone who knows the Greek that brings it in a different angle can bring light to a subject. Now, I just want to read a couple of translations. Most other translations translate this way, I want you to speak in tongues. Now, we need to know this. This isn't just isn't Paul saying it. He's speaking by the inspiration of God. And so instead of, you know, we thinking that Paul wants the church to speak in tongues, really he's speaking as a mouthpiece of God. And we could say it this way, that God wants you to speak in tongues. Other translations, I desire that you speak in tongues. I like this one, I fully intend for you to speak in tongues. Again, not Paul, but God saying these things. Or I will. And I like this one. It pleases me when you speak in tongues. So it pleases God when we speak in tongues. So Paul is saying this through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, that God wants us and God desires and God fully intends for us to speak in tongues. And we're gonna see why. Now I wanna jump at another verse, a few verses down to 1 Corinthians 14:18. 1 Corinthians 14:18. And Paul said this again by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. And so here, Paul's saying, I thank my God, I speak in tongues. And not only did he thank God, was grateful that he spoke in tongues, so there had to be a benefit to it, but he was bold enough to say, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, they may seem egotistical, but Paul is speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Paul is speaking the truth that Paul, as a mouthpiece of God, is telling this church of Corinth, which could have literally had thousands of people, and says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, many believe that's just saying that anyone who speaks the most in tongues in congregation, Paul spoke even more than he did. But the Amplified brings this out, that he was bold enough to say, not only do I speak tongues more than y'all, but all of you put together, the whole church, I speak more in tongues. Now, there must be a benefit. There must be a reason for Paul to want to pray in tongues. You know, and it's very interesting. Again, Paul speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said concerning his apostolic ministry and his works, he said he did more than all the other apostles put together. And we saw that he had more writings and more fruit, and the Holy Ghost saw fit to follow Paul's ministry. And we read about much of it in the book of Acts. And, you know, we're just amazed of his fruitfulness and effectiveness in ministry. And yet we see a key that Paul in his daily life prayed much in other tongues. Now, the reason I chose these two scriptures for an opening text, I want to tell you about an experience I had in January. I mean, no, we do not preach experience, but if you seek God and God says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that God will give you experiences, especially if the experience lines up with the Bible or points to the Bible. You know, every January I go to California for the Holy Ghost meetings out there. And if you've ever done any traveling, it takes a whole day. You know, you get up like 3 a.m, you're on the plane, you know, early in the morning, and you travel across the country, 3 time zones. And so we traveled on a Saturday. And so it was a whole day of travel. So we weren't going to be in the meetings. And so Sunday morning was going to be our first meeting. And of course, with the time change, you've ever done that, you just want to get as much rest as possible. And I remember I was awake, and I don't know what time I was awake in the morning. And, you know, I opened my eyes. Now, some of you, you know, are wonderful when you wake up. You just have this smile on your face and you're ready to win the world and, you know, and run and jump. But how many are like me that you have to have a Lazarus coming forth in the morning? You know, Lazarus, rise from the dead. And that's normally me. You know, my wife knows I'm not a morning person. And whenever I get up, I hide myself for the first hour, because I got to turn the bear into a forebear. And how do I do that? By praying and keeping my body under. But I woke and, you know, I just opened my eyes, you know, and I was just quiet. Then these two scriptures that I just read to you came up in my spirit. I wasn't meditating on them. I wasn't reading along that line. I was just simply waking up, trying to remember where I am and who I am, because of the trip and so forth. And these two scriptures just kept coming up to me. And so I began to meditate on them. I began to meditate. And so no doubt the Holy Ghost is wanting me to get something out of these two scriptures. Then as I meditated, you know, for, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes the most, and I got quiet again. And I wasn't saying anything. I wasn't thinking anything. Then all of a sudden, verse 18 came up real strong, not audible, but very strong in the voice of my spirit. And it was the voice of the Holy Ghost, and said, and he read verse 18, but he put an emphasis on it. He said this, I thank my God, I speak with tongues. Then he said more. Yes. You know, instead of saying more than y'all, he just said more. Then he repeated that. And every time he put the emphasis on the more. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more. And so, you know, I meditated on that and I got quiet again. And I've learned this, that when you're doing all the talking or you're having a lot of thoughts raced in your mind, God can't get his message over you. You have to be quiet, not only quiet in your body, but quiet in your mind and be able to listen to him. So I got quiet after this, and this came up in my spirit. You know, after he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more. And he said this, the more my people will speak in tongues, the more things that will happen for them that they'll want to thank me for. I'll read that again. The more my people will speak in tongues, the more things that will happen for them and they want to thank me for. And so I know from the beginning of the year, he's been, you know, having me wherever I go talk about speaking tongues. Now, this is one of my favorite subjects, but it is very interesting. If you followed my ministry for the past couple of years, what has the Holy Ghost been emphasizing through me, through my message? You know, there's various voices, you know, and everybody's got to follow what God gives them. But for years now, the Holy Ghost is having me to emphasize the subject of prayer. And several years ago, he said this, get my people to pray more. And, you know, we've endeavored to do that. And then he told me, get my people, and he said this, I want you to pray more. Now it got personal. And, you know, and honestly, I pray a lot. You can ask my family. I pray a lot. And yet God is wanting me where I was to begin even to pray what? More. Notice the emphasis. I just love the Holy Ghost. For years, he's been telling me to get the church to pray more. And in January this year, I thank my God, I pray more. And so here about other tongues, I pray more. And so God wants us to what? Pray more and primarily in other tongues. You know what the beautiful thing about more is? It's relative to all of us. Yes. You notice he didn't say, I want my people to pray 4 hours. Right. He didn't say, I want my people to pray 5 minutes. More is relative to all of us. And if we're just maybe new to this or maybe not given to praying in tongues, that, you know, more could be 5 minutes. You know, you maybe pray 2 or 3 minutes a day. You know, 5 minutes would be what? More. And so there are some things that God wants to get us into, but it's going to require for us to put more effort into it and praying in other tongues. And so more is relative. What's more for me is not more for you. It's not your standard. So there should be no bondage in this thing, but we're all safe to pray more. Again, the Holy Ghost is saying, pray more. Now, I just want to give you a couple of scriptures that tell us the importance of praying in the last days. And again, something the Holy Ghost said, and if you heard me preach, and he said the church's part in the last days is to pray more. Every time he kept saying that word more. He said, get my church to pray more. He says, yeah, I want you to pray more. The church's part is to pray more. And Paul said this, I thank my God, I pray more than y'all, but praying more. And so that's what he wants to say. In 1 Peter 4:7, you don't need to necessarily turn there unless you want to. But notice this. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Meaning the last days. I believe we're in the last days. What does it tell us? Be sober and watch unto prayer. So when the end is near, in the end times, what should our focus be? Well, here it says that we're to watch unto prayer. Other translations, give yourself to prayer. So again, the reason I'm bringing out a scriptural foundation that it is not erroneous. It's not my idea about getting the church to pray more. Here, Peter says, hey, in the last days, you ought to be giving yourself to prayer or watching in prayer. Now, in another scripture, and this other scripture, sometime I want to teach on it because there is a powerful, powerful principle in it. And so I just want to make mention of it and just comment on it and continue on. In Matthew 24:43. Now, listen to this. And this is Jesus speaking. But know this,
that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Now, we understand Jesus was talking primarily about the Jews, that they should be watching and waiting for their Messiah to come. But there's a spiritual principle here that I believe applies to us, that here Peter says, in the last days, we ought to be watching unto prayer. And here Jesus said this, if the goodman would known when the thief would come, if he was watching, if he was alert and ready, that that thief would not have broken into his house. And I'm a firm believer that too many times the thief has broken into our house. Things have happened that shouldn't happen. Things that God wanted to happen didn't happen because we simply did not watch unto prayer. And so again, I'm just fulfilling my duty before Almighty God is to teach on the praying more, teach, and especially praying in other tongues. And so we need to be praying more. And so let's go ahead and let's do this. Why do people don't pray in tongues or pray enough in tongues? You know, God wants us to what? Pray more. I thank my God, I pray more than y'all. And so why don't people pray in tongues more? Here Paul said, I pray more than y'all. You know, all of you put together, there's gotta be a benefit. Yeah. Why would he do it? Is it just, he had nothing else to do? He didn't have Netflix, he didn't have Facebook and Twitter, you know, he didn't have Instagram. Well, I have nothing better to do, I'll just pray in tongues, it doesn't do anything. But we see the life, we see the destiny, we see the fruit of the Apostle Paul. And somehow we can tie the connections that his personal life of praying in tongues produce the fruit of his life and ministry. And I believe that's what God wants us to understand. The more we pray in tongues, the more, and I love what the Holy Ghost said in January, the more that we pray in tongues, the more things will happen in our lives that we want to thank God for. You know, have you ever had anything good happen to you? You know, what is your first thought? Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. You know, if all of a sudden you had some extra money, you wouldn't say, damn, Jesus. What's wrong with, you praise, you know? And that's what God is saying. You know, how many know sometimes we got to praise God by faith?
Yes.
You know, Bible says, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. Sometimes that's hard. You know, when things aren't going well and you feel like crying and moping and so forth, and the Bible says count it all joy, then we go, yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But when something good happens, I mean, it's just a natural response. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If I had a choice between counting it all joy by faith, putting joy on when things are rough, or good things happening to me all the time, and my natural response is, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I would choose this one.
That's right, amen.
And I believe this is what God is trying to communicate. The more we'll pray in tongues, the more that our levels, what do you call it, that gauge, you know, just like a gas gauge, empty or full, the more we pray in tongues, the more our lever and our life will be pointed in this direction. I don't know about you, but I like this. I like when good things happen to me. And so we need to understand that there's a direct correlation that the more we pray in tongues, the more it affects our life, the more that God gets involved. I use this illustration, and you know, Kenneth Hagin cured me of the fear of repetition. I would drive, you know, 20 hours to hear Brother Hagin for Winter Bible Seminar, and he would preach the same thing. I've heard his illustrations over and over again, and some of his illustrations I think I can tell better than he can. You know, and I could always be a sentence ahead of him because I've heard it over and over again, but he didn't care. You see, he understood faith comes by hearing and hearing. And so I don't apologize for my illustrations, but I will continue to use my illustrations until you give me a better one. When you give me a better one, I'll start using your illustration and I'll even give you credit for it, okay? Many times when it comes to praying in tongues, I use this. I don't know, this helps me, may not help you, that praying in tongues is like this. And if I were to preach, you know, I'm not a dynamic speaker. I'm very pragmatic. You know, no one runs when I preach. No one shouts. No one says, get out of their seats and I have to shout them down, sit down. They don't do that when I preach. When I preach, they go like this, oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Okay, so, but just pretend for a moment I'm not me. And maybe be R.W. Shambach or some preacher that is dynamic, that, you know, that causes people to shout and run about. And if they were to come up and say, you know what? You need to be doing this. And, you know, you start shouting and you guys are getting all, you know, excited. And, you know, and he takes his jacket off. You need to be doing this. The more you do this, the more you'll be blessed. And boy, he gets you out. And, you know, you feel so good after that service. Then you get home. All right. You said that it's important I do this. I mean, you may start off strong, but I don't know about 5 minutes. What's on Netflix? Let's go for a walk. You do know excitement isn't truth. Emotion isn't truth. And just because people are shouting, run, dance, doesn't mean there's truth being presented. You know, it's the truth, not the excitement that sets you free.
That's right, yeah.
But if I were to tell you, every time you hit this pulpit or whatever thing you hit with this, a dollar comes your way. Oh, yeah. I mean, you DoorDash Starbucks. I don't know if you can even DoorDash Starbucks or not.
Yeah.
Double espresso. Friends would come over. Hey, you want to watch a movie? No, I'm busy right now. You would become obsessed. Obsessed with praying in tongues because you know the benefit. Paul knew something about praying in tongues. And he was obsessed with it, that any given time that he had time, he prayed in tongues. And by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, says, I pray in tongues more than you all or the whole church. Now, let me give you a quote of my spiritual father, Kenneth E. Hagin. And I love this quote. I visit this quote. This quote stirs me to do this. Now listen to this. The greatest things that ever happened to me, the greatest miracles, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial miracles came after a prolonged time in praying in other tongues. The ministry today, what we're in, what we're doing, and have been doing the last number of years, came as a direct result of praying in other tongues. Do you know what drop the mic is? That means we can end right there. Listen to what he said. And I don't believe he's lying. He Kenneth Hagin must have knew a secret that Paul knew. And the correlation of praying in tongues and great things happening. Remember what the Holy Ghost said, the more my people pray in tongues, the more they'll have an occasion to thank me for, the more things will happen that they'll thank God. And he said this, the greatest things, we want great things to happen to us. Remember that lever? You know, we don't want to be always counting it all joy every day. I got to count joy. I don't feel joy. Things aren't happening, but I'm counting joy. I live solely by faith, and I don't see any good things. No, we want the pendulum. We want the gauge to be over here. that things happen and our natural response, glory to God. Thank God, hallelujah. The greatest things that ever happened to me, the greatest miracles, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial miracles came after a prolonged time in praying in other tongues. The ministry today, what we're in, what we're doing, what we have been doing for the last number of years came as a direct result of praying in other tongues. And there's so much we can talk about this. You know, we all know there's an end time move of God. And we know in this end time move of God, all the gifts of the Spirit will be in full operation and manifestation. This has been prophesied since, you know, the Bible prophesied it, the prophets since the 1900s, Kenneth Hagin prophesied it, Dr. Dufresne saw this in visions. This end time move of God will be with what? Great power, tremendous power. All the revivals of previous generations all together in one, that God is going to put a show on the earth. I mean, you know, that's a lot of power. But what does James 5:16 says? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes what? Tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. That being a student revival, that every revival was fueled by prayer. That before the power and the great things, there were people praying. Kenneth Hagin saw this. The greatest things is when I prayed and prayed, sooner or later, great and wonderful things came. And so the end time move of God, you know, in these last days, when the Holy Ghost said to me, the church's part is for the church to pray. And so I see a direct correlation. The more we as a church pray, more power is made available, and God can do greater signs and wonders. And we ought to be contending for that. But you know, all of us, as noble as we are, and as spiritual we are, and we like to be Christ-like, down on the inside, but what is in it? What's in it for me? You know, if I spend all this time praying for revival, yeah, the world gets blessed. People go to heaven that will miss hell. That's great and wonderful, but what do I get out of it? I know you never thought anything like that. But I like the quote Kenneth Hagin said. The greatest things that happened to me. He just didn't say ministry. He just didn't say in the body of Christ. And no doubt a lot of those things happen. He said the greatest things that happened to me came after a prolonged time of praying in other tongues. Now, he used the word prolonged time. You know what prolonged means? More. You know, if I used to go for a walk for 5 minutes and I prolonged it to 10 minutes, guess what? I walked what? More. Man, we're getting deep, aren't we? Real deep. And so we could say this, that the greatest things happened to me when I prayed more in tongues. And it's so fascinating. And I love teaching this because I was privileged, so, so privileged after I was born again, that folks got good material. And, you know, back then we have tapes for you young people. We're not talking masking tape, scotch tape. Talk to your grandparents what we're talking about, tapes. I had a tape and I listened to tape that talked about right after I was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, I heard a tape talking about the benefit of speaking in other tongues. And I never heard such a thing. You know, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. No one told me about what was important about speaking in tongues. All they said, it was a sign you're filled with the Holy Ghost. So I spoke in tongues and I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, great, I got it, but I didn't know what to do with it. And I got this tape and it went through the Bible of the importance and the benefits of speaking in other tongues. And here I'm a young believer and I'm just, you know, wow, this is all new to me. I didn't hear anything like this in the churches that I went to. And this was before I went to Rhema. And I was only saved maybe a few months. And, you know, towards the end of the tape, The minister said this, that I would encourage all of you to pray at least an hour a day in tongues. Now, you know, folks squawk and balk on that. My assignment is not just to get you to pray an hour a day. You know what the Holy Ghost didn't tell me to get you to pray an hour a day? You know what he said? More. You know, for some of you, an hour, you know, that's nothing, but pray more. For those of you that just pray a few minutes, to pray what? More. And so the Holy Ghost wants us to pray more. And so I was just praying maybe, I don't know, 5-10 minutes a day, if that, or just when I remembered praying in tongues. But I begin to do that. I begin to practice and pray an hour a day. Again, don't get focused on the hour. The Bible says pray without ceasing, you know, and so whatever more is to you. So I started to pray at least an hour a day in tongues, and something amazing began to happen. That's why I would get everyone praying in tongues. I don't understand why people don't want to do this while they're driving the car, while they're taking the shower, doing this all the time. Remember, the more I pray in tongues, the more occasion that we'll have to thank God for. And so I begin to pray in tongues an hour a day. And something amazing happened, that my life took on a supernatural element. Up to that time, and again, if you give me a better illustration, I'll use yours. Until then, I'll keep using mine. Up to that time, my life was like this. I wanted to do something with my life, go somewhere with my life, and here's a door, and I go to open the door, and it's locked. And, you know, we can't get it open, so I beat it, I huff and puff, try to blow the door down, and finally, I get an axe, I break it down with much effort and toil, I'm exhausted, and I finally get the door open, and it's a messy broom closet. Everything I did was just failure, doom, not exciting, nothing happening. It wasn't what I wanted in my life, but that everything I was doing up to that time was like that. But after praying in tongues, you know, at least an hour a day, or again, don't get on more, it was way different. It was like when Walmart came to Fredonia. You may balk and squawk about that, but you go to Fredonia, there's not much there. But when we go to Walmart, wow, that's right in the center of town. And when you walk close to the doors, you don't need to pry them open. You don't need to break them open. They're glass. And you just get near those doors, and what happens? They swing open wide. And there's more stuff in Walmart than you can take home. Walmart is exceedingly above all you can ask or think or even to bring home. You know, God designed all of our lives that way. The Bible says that before the creation of the world, just think about it, before God created the world, he knew you. He knew everything about you. He knew the gifts and talents that he placed on the inside of you. And he designed a path and a plan for your life. And in that life, God says it'll be exceedingly above all you ask or think. Now that's Bible, you know, that's Bible adjectives. I've said this, and you can quote it. God is the God of adjectives. Yeah, everything God says, there's adjective. You know, exceeding abundantly above. Great and precious promise. Everything about God, just one adjective is not enough. He's just got to add and add and add. But God's plan for you is to be wonderful. Exceeding above all you ask. I don't know about you, but I can ask and think about pretty big things. But God says, the thing that I planned for you is far above what you can ask or think. And this is where praying in tongues, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. I just got through with my introduction. Now I'm getting to what I wanted to say, so we're going to have to fit this in. And there are so many benefits of praying in tongues, but when it comes to greater things, blessings in your life, increase in your life, that God gave us the Holy Ghost. Jesus said this way, you know, when he walked the earth, anyone can come to him and be healed. Anyone can come to him and have their needs supplied. It'd be wonderful just to have Jesus on the earth. But Jesus said, is it expedient that I go away? He says, it's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, then he, the Holy Ghost, can't come. So what, you know what Jesus was saying? Jesus said, it's better that I go away because when the Holy Ghost comes, you're going to get something better. Yeah. And what happened when the Holy Ghost? See, up to that time, if Jesus was on there, you'd have to go to Jesus to have your needs met. And so if you had a prayer, you'd have to go to Jerusalem or at least, you know, get on Skype or something like that and talk to Jesus that way. But now all of us have the Holy Ghost on the inside. And now when it comes to the plan and purpose of God, I really wish I had more time on this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:2 that when we pray in unknown tongue, we pray out mysteries or secrets. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
Okay. Now you have to understand this. Secrets or mysteries are things that we don't know, we don't understand. How many know there's no secrets or mysteries with God? And there's no secrets or mysteries with the Holy Ghost. When God had you in mind, in the planning throne room, when God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost were discussing the path and plan for your life, they got together for every single person on the face of the earth and designed something great and grand and wonderful and beautiful. That, man, this is my plan. This is my will for their life. It's going to blow their mind. They're going to want to pinch themselves. This is how good I am. This is how great I am. That God's plan is always a reflection of what he's doing in heaven. I mean, oh, heaven, you ain't going to get bored in heaven and say, oh, I'm disappointed. No, you're going to. The first million years, you're going, oh, I can't believe it. I'm so excited. And see, God designed that. But that's a mystery to you. But it's not a mystery to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was in that meeting. The Holy Ghost knew what God planned. And the Holy Ghost was sent to get you on that path and plan. And so let's look at this. And so I gave you all introduction, and I'm just going to give you 5 minutes of substance here of my message. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession or prayer for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession of prayer for the saints according to what? The will of God. In verse 28, and we know all things work together for good, those that love God, called according to his purpose or according to his will. Now, this is an amazing, amazing truth here. That the Holy Ghost was sent to help us. We know Jesus said that over and over again. You read in John's gospel, he kept saying, but when he's come, you know, he just kept saying, man, you wait until the Holy Ghost, you think it's great when I'm here, wait until he comes, the Holy Ghost comes. And here it tells us that the Holy Ghost is sent to help us. Jesus said this, and one of the ways he's sent to help us is to help our infirmities. Now, that's King James. You look that word in the Greek, you know, folks have said, you know, he helps us be sick. No, it's not talking about that. That word simply means our weaknesses or our inability to produce results. So what the Holy Ghost has sent is to help us where we just really cannot perform or do what should be done in certain circumstances. Now, what is he talking about? How does he help our infirmities? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And so what he's talking about, praying in tongues, is God's way for the Holy Ghost to help us to pray as we should pray. Now, we're going to see this has to do a lot with the mysteries and the plans and the will of God. And it goes on and says, the Holy Ghost will help us pray the perfect will of God out. What is the perfect will of God? God's able to do exceeding abundantly above we ask or think. And in these verses, it's primarily talking about praying in tongues. That when we pray in tongues, that's the Holy Spirit's way of helping us to pray to get us into the will of God. And remember, Brother Hagin, the greatest things that happened to me, the more I prayed in tongues, the more the pendulum swung this way. The more we pray in tongues, the more of the will of God is wrought in our lives, which is exceedingly abundantly. Every promise of God, health, healing, strength, victory, peace, a destiny, divine connections in the will of God, the Holy Ghost will help us go in that direction. And we know this, John Wesley said, God can do nothing for humanity unless we ask him. And so that's why God sent the Holy Ghost. That way when we pray in tongues, we can pray out the will, we can ask God to get us on the will of God. And that way we can experience greater and more financial miracles, healings, breakthroughs, answers to prayer. It's all in the path of the will of God. Now, I love something that Pastor Nancy Dufresne said, and I've said enough that I can coin it as my own, but I still like giving credit where credit is due, that when we pray in tongues, it's like laying tracks for the will of God. And if you look at my iPhone at time, I have a picture of a railroad track going into the fog, meaning the unknown. And that's the type of praying in the Spirit. That we pray out mysteries and plans. We don't know how we should pray. We don't know the perfect will of God in so many areas, but the Holy Ghost does. He was in that plane. He knows where God wants to put you. He knows where God wants to hook you up. He knows the supply that you need. He knows that he's provided. And when we pray in tongues, the Holy Ghost lays tracks for the plan of God to get to that destination. Now, we know a little bit about trains in this area. When I was in Europe, I had to change my illustration a little bit because in Europe, they don't use trains to transport cargo, only people. And so in the United States, trains transport cargo and people to destinations. And amazing thing, these powerful locomotives bring so much goods and people to places, but it has to have tracks. And if there's no tracks, no matter how much that locomotive tries, like that little engine going up the hill, I'm trying, it can't go anywhere unless there's tracks been laid. You know, it can have the best cargo, it may have people, it may have a destination in mind, but needs tracks to go on. God needs you to lay tracks for his plan and purpose to go forward. And see, Paul knew this. That's why his life was exceedingly above all he asked. I think Brother Hagin knew this. This is why he said the greatest miracles he ever saw to him personally happened. And if that don't excite you, I like this. He said the greatest financial miracles. How many would like to have more finances? There's a direct key of exceedingly above all we ask, think financially, as we pray out the plans of God. Praying in tongues. You know, my time has slipped away. But the Holy Ghost said, there's so much I can tell you about this. The more I pray in tongues, the more God things show up. The more the pendulum swings into, wow, glory to God, this happened. And the less I pray in tongues, the more I have to count it all joy. This happened, well, I count it all joy. Now, thank God we have the word. We have the word when nothing's going right, and the word will work and eventually get us through our tests and trials and so forth. But blessed be God, there is a higher way. Or we can say this, the express lane. You ever been express lane? That means you pass everybody else by. And you know, the traffic builds up and it's come to a standstill. When you're on the expressway, you pass all that. And when you used to have toll booths, you know, you used to, you know, when you have to get the ticket to the toll booth on the thruway, you know, there was an easy pass. Everyone else has to stop and there's a line there and you just go right by, and I did this many times. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. See, the Bible wants, God wants you to say, bye-bye test, bye-bye devil, bye-bye lack, bye-bye sickness, bye-bye weakness, bye-bye, and just keep on going into the paths and plans of God. So the Holy Ghost, for the past couple years, has been telling me to get my people to pray more. January this year, he says, I thank God that I pray more. And he said this, the more my people pray in tongues, the more things that will happen to them that they will thank God for. And so that is my message. What is your homework? I want to count it all joy and just live life in the natural and just, no, pray in tongues more. Get that pendulum swinging to the other side. Ooh, wow, ooh, wow. Is this real? Can it be? That's the way God rolls, and God wants you to roll. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness. Now, Lord, I delivered the message you gave me. Many of them may have heard it before, but Father, you showed it to me. I had an inside vision, a snapshot, and I knew that I was a minister along this line. And Father, I just thank you. Father, just to stir people to know how important and how beneficial it is to pray more. And I love that, Lord. You said more. You didn't give us a time that we all had to do, but just more. And the more we pray, the more things will happen, the more we'll want to pray. And we'll just want to pray because we want to see more. And Father, it's so simple. All of us can do it. We don't need a PhD. We don't need to go to Bible school. This is something you gave us as a gift, to pray in tongues. And so, Father, I pray everyone in the sound of my voice and those watching online would take it heart, be a doer of the word, to pray more in other tongues. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I know I'm a guest here. I may have been the founding pastor, but Pastor Tim, Pastor Kate are your pastors. And I may not know everybody here. And most people come on a midweek service, love God, serve God. But I just want to make sure, is there anyone here not born again, or anyone here that you're what we call backslidden, or the Bible calls a prodigal son, which simply means you have been born again, but you know in your heart you're not living and serving God, and you realize, man, I want exceeding great things to happen. I need to get back in the plan of God. I need to be praying in tongues more, and I just want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Is there anybody here tonight that would like to rededicate? I see the hand. God bless you. Again, we're not going to embarrass you. Anybody else? I see the hand. God bless you. God bless you. We're not embarrassing anybody. You know, God loves you, and he sent me here with this encouraging message that he wants to take your life and make it something great, grand, and wonderful. And so we had a couple of hands here raised, and maybe there's some other hands that for some reason raised their hand, or people watching online. Let's do this as a family. Let's all pray a prayer of consecration together. And those that raised your hand, pray this prayer with us. Mean it with your heart. And God's going to do something special for you tonight because you dedicate and consecrate to him. Let's pray this together. Dear God, I believe that Jesus is your son. He died for me and rose again from the dead, so I could be saved. This day, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. I'm now your child, and my life will never, ever be the same again after this day, in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, you raised your hand, or even if you didn't raise your hand and you prayed that prayer, if you aren't, no, God has heard you. It's a brand new start for you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, that is under the blood. There's a fresh start. And I want to encourage you to keep coming to church, and especially when Pastor Tim and Katie come back. And if you're here and maybe you need a pastor to talk to, Pastor Brad is here after the service. We're just so thrilled that you made a step towards God. And you know what the Bible says? They that draw near to God, God's going to draw near to you. And so that's what I'm boldly on the authority of the word. God is going to do something special for you because you dedicated and consecrated to him. Amen. Well, were you helped? Were you encouraged? Were you stirred? If not, I just stirred myself. I'm going to go pray more in tongues and just see God mess with my life more. I love that. God messing with my life. But I'm just going to go, you know, I prayed about the message, and I saw this is what I was going to minister on. But also in my spirit, Now, I do minister along this line, and I'm very careful. The pastor's not here, so I'm not going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. I don't do that unless the pastor is here. But within the clause, in a safe area is God always wants to meet people's needs. And of late, and I know this, I have a special anointing for it, is for people that are oppressed, people with anxiety of the mind, people that, you know, maybe you're going through something and it's been waiting hard. And also this, and I see this in my spirit, that, you know, you're reading the Bible and it's just a blank book to you. It's just, man, I'm not getting anything. And when you go to pray, it's like, it is so hard. A lot of times that's oppression of the enemy that's trying to keep you from drawing nigh to God. But thank God there is an anointing that will break the yoke. And so if that's you, if you, anything mental, emotional, or just oppression, or just, man, it just seems like the iron heavens, and it just seems like there's nothing there as I approach to God. If you allow me to, I'll minister before I turn it over to the pastors. Anybody that would like to be ministered to, come on forward. Come on up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if you do me a favor, just have your hands in front of you. I'm just going to minister the anointing. And Father, I just thank you as these have come forward. And Lord, you've given me a special anointing concerning oppression Father, as I minister to them, I thank you. It is the anointing upon me will break the yoke. And Father, as I lay my hands, I just thank you, whatever yoke it is, in the name of Jesus, be set free. We break that yoke. In the name of Jesus, be set free. 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 Hi. Put your hands out. Would you put your hands out? Like this. That way. In the name of Jesus, be set free in Jesus' name. You know, it's no fun being weighed down. I had what I called a Job Jr. experience, where I was attacked in so many ways. And I have great compassion. Anyone struggling with oppression, depression, or just heaviness and stuff like that, it's a real thing. And you can't just say, shake it off. If they could just shake it off, they would just shake it off. And so thank God for the anointing and so forth. Father, what is that? Thank you, Jesus. You just arrested me out in my spirit. What is that? If you're here and you have a physical need in your body, a physical need meaning healing or something in your body, you know, God wants us whole, spirit, soul, and body. A lot of times the oppression is of the mind and the soul, so forth, but if you're sick in body, I'd like being a minister to you. Again, I don't mean to prolong the service, but the Holy Ghost wants you well. He wants you well. Is there anybody? Just come on forward if that's you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. God's plan is for you to be perfectly healed and whole. I don't need to know what it is, but the power of God will work. And so if you just have all your hands out like that, I'm going to minister God's healing power to you. and that power will heal you. You may fall, you may not fall. Falling doesn't heal you or don't heal you. What it is you mix faith with that power. And so, Father, your compassion is upon me. And Lord, I thank you for the compassion anointing. Wherever the sickness and disease, I thank you for the anointing that breaks it, that yoke. Be healed in Jesus' name. 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 Hi, sweetheart. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed, whole and well. Now, if you had hands laid on you, you're well taught in this church. A lot of times what people do is immediately look to their body to determine if they're healed or not. That's the wrong answer. You look to the word. Faith is calling those things that be not as though they were. Faith is believing you receive before you feel. And so the power of God went into each and every one of you. I felt it go into you. What you do is mix faith with this is I believe I receive. You don't check your body to see if you're healed. The word says you're healed. And what you do is say, Father, thank you. Hands were laid on me. I believe I receive. And just from this moment, praise, Father, thank you for the healing power. Even when you're still hurting, even though the symptoms are there, and just getting thrown, just, you know, get lost in Jesus. Jesus, thank you for healing me. Heal me. And that's faith that will activate that power and cause a healing and cure in your body. Well, thank you for allowing me to minister here tonight. I certainly love and appreciate you. Thank you for all my partners. Thank you for Fredonia folk, and thank you for everyone that's come tonight. I trust that I've been a blessing to you. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Brad.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor Michael. How many are going to pray more? Amen. Glory to God. We're going to get ready to take up tonight's offering. And if you do have your tithe, and you're bringing your tithe tonight, make sure you mark that specifically, but we're going to take up this offering. It's going to go right to Pastor Michael. I just wanted to share a verse you know over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. I like the Amplified. It says, "Let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving." That's the biggest thing. Make sure that you connect your heart to it. Amen. And it says that God is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver. We're not grudgingly throwing money in a bucket. Amen. We're releasing our joy. So, hey, if God puts a number on your heart, obey that. But purpose something in your heart and make sure your joy is connected to it. Pastor Michael, thank you so much for the Word of God. I'll tell you, it's an honor to have you here and to share that with us. So we have our assignments here moving forward. We're going to leave chains. Ushers, if you'll come forward at this time. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you for the Word tonight. Father, Lord, as we sow seed into good ground, we know that harvest is imminent. And Father, we hook up our joy, we hook up our faith, sowing our seed into this good ground. And Father, we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Ushers, you may serve the people. And I do want to say, too, there was some individuals here. Maybe you rededicated your life. Maybe you did get born again. Maybe there's individuals here tonight that you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, after service is dismissed, come up and see me. It's a gift from God to you. Make sure you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and we'll bring you into that revelation that Pastor Michael shared with us. But if you're here tonight, you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, Once we dismiss, please come on up. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Receive what God has for you. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet as the ushers have already gone by. Let's just praise on Him for a little bit, and then we'll dismiss. Father, we bless You. We thank You. We glorify You. We leave changed here tonight, and we give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.